Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
We're in the second week of our Trust Fund series, and Pastor Stan kicked it off last week, and his topic was, is it generosity or approval addiction? Now, I don't know about you, but when we look at that topic, it's like, what's that all about? So if you missed out or if you've got questions about that topic, can I encourage you to go to our website, go to our app or go to YouTube and have a look at what Pastor Stan had to say about that, how he set up this series. And in fact, anything that you could desire as far as our teaching series here at the church is available in one of these locations. So please avail yourselves of that and make sure you chase things up. It has been my experience as I've continued to journey with Jesus, as I've been serious about him in my faith walk, that he constantly puts things in my thinking. He constantly puts choices before me, and I have to choose one thing or the other. And this has never been truer than when God called me one day. I was following Jesus. I was a bit wishy-washy in my faith and the things that I would and wouldn't do. But there was this day that Jesus said, Charlie, you're either for me or you're against me. Which one would you pick? Yeah, because when you believe that that's truly God, as I did, there's only one choice. Hey, it's a no-brainer. You're not going to go against he who reigns over all of the universe. And so there's no real choice. I chose to be for him. I chose to follow him. But my choices didn't stop there. It's like God continually draws lines in the sand and he says, well, it's here or there. It's your choice. You make that decision. And so those choices constantly come. And I believe that's true for each and every one of us who follow Jesus. And so those choices are either to continue in obedience to him, in greater obedience and submission, or to make a choice which would draw us a little away from him. And what I found is when I make those right choices, when I make those choices that are in God's will, it's never a burden. It's never a problem. I don't necessarily see a return at the time. I don't necessarily see a great benefit immediately when I make that choice. But sometimes years down the track, I can look back and I can see that God has had plan and purpose for why I made that choice. His thumbprints end up all over my life, and I'm so very, very thankful. But what we need to realize is sometimes the benefit, the advantage is not here on this earth. It's going to be when we stand in glory in his presence. Following Jesus and submitting to him has been the greatest decision I've ever made. And trust me, you cannot make a better decision. It brings to life passages like Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. Think about what Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture. This merchant found this one pearl. It was the pearl that was better than all other pearls, the one that made everything fade into insignificance. And he gave up everything, everything he had, in order to possess that one pearl. That was his primary focus. And in reality, that's how we're called as followers of Jesus to think about the kingdom of God. It should be our primary focus. And as we focus on him and his kingdom, everything else, every other pursuit should fade into insignificance. And we should commit to doing all we can to secure God's kingdom in our lives. In many ways, seeking God and his kingdom is the greatest treasure hunt we can ever be on. Now, I'm not sure about you, when you were younger, if you had these games that you played about treasure hunting and things like that, but I'm sure that if you had a treasure map, a map that you believed to be true, and it had X on the spot where the treasure was, you would do everything you could, I would anyway, to secure that treasure. I would focus on taking those steps that I could to acquire that thing, possess it and claim it as my own? Do we do that with our faith? Do we take every step we can in order to possess that faith and to claim it as our own, to claim the promises of Scripture that God has put there for us? Today, as we consider Matthew 6, 19 to 24, I believe, again, we are being given a choice. And some of you are going to be confronted with that this morning. Some of you are going to have to make that choice, a choice which will either allow us to draw nearer to God or it will actually push Him aside. And that's the reality of the choices that we get to make. And this choice is between hoarding or giving. We are continuing to examine Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus redefined what a meaningful and impactful life should look like. And at the very heart of His teaching is that call to live generously. And this wasn't just about money. It was about our hearts. It was about our priorities. It was about our trust and where that was placed. And living generously isn't about giving because we have to. It's about giving because we trust God completely. It's about giving because everything we have and everything we are from His hand. Living generously isn't simply an action. It's a posture or attitude of heart which is deeply rooted in God's promises. So the bottom line, generous living flows from a heart fully trusted to God. Would you agree that God is the most joyfully generous being in the whole universe? Would you agree with that statement? He demonstrated His radical generosity and love by giving or providing Jesus to us. Jesus came and lived this perfect life, dying in my place. He was without sin or fault, but He took my sin, He took your sin upon Himself. And He did that so that we could be restored into relationship with God. I cannot even hope to begin to express that type of generosity, the same type of generosity that God has shown me. But I am called to follow Jesus and to be like Jesus. In fact, I'm called to become more and more like Jesus each and every day. And with His help, we can. And so generosity should be a characteristic that is seen in my life and the lives of each and every follower of Jesus each and every day. And I think it's summed up well in 1 Timothy 6. This is speaking about followers of Jesus. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. I'm well aware that there's some people here, some people online, whose perception is that all we do as a church is talk about money. If you go back through our messages, you'll find that's not true. But there just seems to be this thing that wells up in us when we start talking about money. But I want you to understand my motivation as your leader, as one of your leaders. I want something for you. I don't want something from you. And what I want for you, I want you to have more faith. I want you to have more joy. I want you to have more freedom. I want you to have more purpose in your life. And I want you to understand what that is like when you live that for God, when you're following and pursuing Him. If I had to choose between having this for you or having something from you, I'd choose this, that you would experience what it is like to be submitted to Him. I want each and every one of us to grow into joyfully generous disciples of Jesus, those who wisely manage their time, their talents, and their treasures in a way that has the greatest impact that it can for the kingdom of God. Is that your desire? We're talking about hoarding versus giving. I wonder what you think about when you think of that word hoarding. I was in real estate for 13 years. I went into a number of different houses and properties and things like that. And I've been in those houses where, you know, you walk in and there's this little aisle that goes between all this stuff that is floor to ceiling. And, you know, it's quite precarious. Some of it, if it fell down, it'd take months to find you in there. And unfortunately, it's of very little value. The people who accumulated it, there was something about it that they saw worth and value in. But especially when it's left to the family to sort that sort of stuff out, The family comes in and it's all worthless. It's got little value. And it's often just discarded without further thought. When we talk about hoarding this morning, it is a little bit different in a way. But what we should understand and get our heads around, whatever we hoard, whatever we save, whatever we keep on this earth has zero value in eternity. Zero. It is worthless. So in context today, hoarding is about the practice of collecting or accumulating something. And in the midst of that, there's an element of greed, an element of desire, an element of depending on that thing which is gathered or collected or saved. And when we think about these things, when we're challenged about things that are in Scripture, we have to be a bit like the disciples in the upper room when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." And the disciples said, one by one, "Is it me, Lord?" And so when we're challenged about things like this, when you've got someone from the front bumping their gums about things that rub us the wrong way, let's put aside those feelings. Let's say, "Lord, is it me? Is there any part of this in my life?" And that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you to question, is it me? Because you see, every true follower of Jesus would be willing to do that on a regular basis. They'd be willing to open themselves to God and say, "Lord, examine my life. Show me any way that doesn't bring honor or glory to you. Reveal to me the things that hinder me from having a greater relationship with you, and give me the strength, tenacity, and power to deal with that, Lord, in a way that does honor you." So I'm asking you today to be willing to do that. Each of us to ask whether it's your stuff or whether it's God that's your priority. And I believe Scripture makes it clear. All of us are on a treasure hunt. We're either hoarding stuff for our brief time on earth, or we're generous and we're giving or preferring to store our wealth in heaven. And our willingness to hoard or give is a matter of the heart, a matter of true dependence. Are we dependent on God, or are we dependent on our stuff? Are we dependent on our abilities? Are we dependent on that which would make us more secure into the future? Our focus passage is Matthew 6, 19 to 24. And again, I want to encourage you to read through this passage at home. But let's look at a couple of those verses to start with. Matthew 6, 19 to 20. "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." Now, before we were saved, before we acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there was only one place that we could hoard or save wealth, yes? And we did that here on earth. But then when we gave our life to Jesus, there's something else that is called of us. And so then we have to make that choice. Do I continue doing what I was doing before I come to know Jesus? Or do I do a better thing and I do it the way that Jesus and God tells me to and the way Holy Spirit prompts me to? Hoarding or storing up treasure here on earth is all about me. It's about what I want. It is self-serving. It is self-satisfying. And because this is an attitude of heart, it isn't just an issue for those who are incredibly wealthy. This is an issue for each and every one of us, even if we don't have much, because it is that attitude of heart. Each of us has the potential to hold or lay up treasure or wealth or stuff on this earth, even the poor. A treasure is anything that we consider precious to ourselves. Dwell on that for a moment. What are your hopes and dreams? When you've got time just to sit and think, what are those things that you hope for and what are those things that you dream about? Maybe it's that you would have a little more money, just a little more. Maybe it's that you want a slightly better job. Maybe you feel that you need clothes that fit in a little more with those around you, a car that isn't always breaking down. Maybe you need that new phone. Our treasure is anything we eagerly strive to attain. Our treasure are those things that we dread to lose. What are those things in your life right now? Where is your primary focus? And when we think about these things, can I ask you, are you spending more and more time at work because you want to provide a certain lifestyle for your family? Are you spending more time at work because you realize the type of retirement that you want is going to require X amount of dollars, and so you're pushing towards that? Is your focus not on attaining a house, but wanting a bigger house, a nicer car, or whatever? And are those things a need, or are they perhaps something else? Obviously, there's nothing wrong with saving and investing. But we're talking about that point where we cross a line. Hoarding in this context is when we're saving without a specific purpose or reason in mind. It's when we're saving solely to accumulate wealth. Hoarding and storing up treasure is not just a financial or material issue either. It's that heart issue that I keep talking about. When we focus on such things, it's actually damaging to our families. Even though we may say it's actually for them, it's damaging to them. It's damaging to us and the relationships that we could otherwise have. And more important than anything else, it's damaging to our relationship with God, because we're no longer putting Him first. Our focus shifts from dependence on God to dependence on our stuff. And we see God warning the Israelites of this exact thing in Deuteronomy 8:11. But that is the time to be careful, God says. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey His commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. You see, God was bringing Israel out of Egypt. He was taking them into a fertile land. They would have an abundance of everything that they could possibly want. They would be rich beyond their imaginations like they never have been before. And God says, when you were rich, don't forget it was me who gave you all of this. Don't forget that I provided this for you. Remember on whom you need to depend. And I believe God's saying the same thing to us. There should be a point in our lives where we realize our dependence on things rather than God has to stop. We have to turn from what we used to do before we were Christians to doing what God calls us to do, and choose to do that constantly and continuously for Him. And this call is emphasized in Matthew 6. We're told not to store up treasures here on earth, but to store up treasures in heaven. I want you to think back to that time when you first gave your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you remember that day? Do you remember just how incredible that was, how your heart welled up? And I don't know about you, but there was just all these crazy emotions with me. I couldn't believe that He died for me. And I couldn't believe that He forgave my sins. It was just such an incredible time for me. Do you remember that? And do you look on that day with fondness? Do you remember how precious that moment was? Because you see, our greatest treasure should be Jesus Himself. That's who we need to pursue. That's what we need to pursue. Is Jesus genuinely our greatest treasure? If so, then our hearts will naturally be inclined to Him and where He is. Matthew 6:21 says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." And when Scripture speaks about our hearts, it's speaking about the very center of our being, that which drives us and motivates us. So where are the desires of our hearts? When all is quiet, when you're in a position just to think and dream, what comes to mind? What's that thing? Martin Luther said, "Whatever your heart clings to and relies on, that is your God." So how do we move from an unhealthy relationship with finance and the things of the world to being generous and giving like we saw in the 1 Timothy passage mentioned earlier? First and foremost, I think we need to action Scripture. We need to claim Scriptures and live those out. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guarding your hearts is about being honest with yourself. It's about examining ourselves, our attitudes and our actions, and taking whatever action is necessary in order to continue to follow the right path. It's also about constantly changing and realigning our choices and decisions to align with those things of God. It's necessary so that we are no longer focused on money and possessions for our dependence, but we're realigning ourselves so that we are constantly and firmly standing on the promises of God and seeking Him for all that we need. And this goes hand in glove with what Jesus says in Matthew 6:22. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. And when we have scripture references like this, which speak about our eyes in this manner, it's talking about your heart. Our eyes illuminate our inner life. And so a good eye is an eye that sees as Jesus did. It is an eye that identifies a need in whatever context. And it doesn't just identify it, it actually responds to meet those needs. But it's also about this good eye being the conduit that allows our heart to be filled with the light of God, the things He values and the things He treasures. Healthy eyes see clearly. And in a very real sense, our bodies are full with light as a result. And our view of life depends on the kind of spiritual eyes we have. The more we are filled with the light of God, the more we lose sense of the world's values and treasures. They will no longer be attractive to us. We will want to live in accord with God's will and purposes. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And when we come to this verse, it's like Jesus is making sure we fully understand what he's been trying to say prior to this. It's like he's saying, well, if you haven't got the point, this is it. This is what I'm saying. God can only be served with complete and absolute devotion. There is no other option. The word translated money here is actually much broader than that too. It encompasses not just money, but wealth. It is that which one has come to trust in for their future security. It could be property, it could be finances, it is material possessions. And in a word, it could be translated as riches rather than money. And the choice has to be made. Both of these options demand total service, for you'll be a slave to them. And each has a different way of controlling our life. We will either hoard wealth or we'll be generous and giving. You can't be both. And I believe the vast majority of those of us here and online who say they're followers of Jesus want to honour Him. They want to be generous. They want to do the right thing. But there always seems to be excuses. And I've had so many people come to me when I've been a pastor. And they've said, yeah, I want to be generous, I want to give, but I'm just waiting until I get X amount of dollars behind me. I want to be generous, I want to give, but I'm soon to be married and I need to save up for that. I want to be generous and I want to give, but I have some kids on the way. I want to be generous, I want to give, but I really do need to buy a house to support my family. And it's like there's an excuse each and every time. We get through one problem and then there's another one. Jesus says, you can't have a bit of me and a bit of the world. It's one or the other. And the question is, will you be faithful? Will you choose to put God first and to trust Him for whatever you need? Because if we don't, there's going to be so many other things that come in and replace His rightful place in your life. And He'll be pushed to the side. I want to circle back to something I said earlier. Is Jesus our greatest treasure? If we say yes, can we honestly say that we are a generous giving people? And if there's been any hesitation or doubt when you thought about that question, are you willing to deal with that now? Have we been guilty of hoarding or greed? And the best way to overcome that is to take action. Make your choice today. Declare to God that today you'll stop hoarding and you'll become a generous person with His help. We overcome attitudes of greed and hoarding by opening our hands and giving. And I read a quote It said, if you want to overcome hoarding, saving, or storing up, if that's a problem for you, then give until you become cheerful. And the reality is that when we open our hands in giving, it opens our hearts, it softens our hearts. What we have, everything we have, should be held very, very loosely in our hands. If we tithe 10%, that doesn't give us exclusive rights on the other 90% that God has given us. It's all His, all of it. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. And I can declare that I've seen Him do it so many times in my life, and yes, I've been incredibly poor at one stage in my life. Hoarding or failing to show generosity as God has shown us is a danger for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you only have a little. We need to protect our hearts first and foremost and have a healthy view of our possessions, our desires, what we wish for, what we want. And what we have is not ours to hold. They're given by God, and He calls us to be good stewards with them. The main point for us to avoid hoarding and to focus on being generous is exactly that. Be generous in whatever context. And this isn't a call to empty your bank accounts. It isn't a call to throw hundreds of thousands of dollars at us or whatever it is that you've got there. But we have to be careful. And we should have a goal for every dollar that we save. And these goals could be future expenses like retirement, college, house, car. Those things are needed at times. But we should calculate the amount we need and stop saving when we reach that goal, when we reach the amount that is needed. Then we need to balance giving and saving. And giving is the opposite of greed. And when we give in conjunction with saving, our mind isn't totally focused on accumulation. As you increase your savings, increase your giving, and keep a proper balance in that. Greed would have us believe that we can accumulate more wealth by giving less. But don't forget who's giving you everything. Don't forget who's in charge of the results. Be faithful stewards of your money and leave the rest up to God. Nothing should be considered untouchable by God. Everything we have, our house, our car, our material possessions, our financials, it's all God's. And I want you to ask yourself, are you willing to give that up? If God asked you to give up one of those things, is it held so loosely in your hands, acknowledging that it's His anyway, that you would be able to let it go if He asked you to? And if you're thinking about something now that you would find very difficult to give up, has that thing become an idol for you? Don't have the goal to get rich. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. It's easier to think that the life of the rich is easier than it is for the rest of us. But Scripture points constantly to the flaw in that thinking. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. Riches bring headaches of their own. They bring spiritual dangers. Henry Ford, who we all know, spoke this truth. He said, I was happier doing a mechanic's job. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the power of Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You call us to account constantly. And Lord, I pray for those who can hear My voice this morning, that they've heard You call them to account now, rather than when they stand in Your presence in glory. I pray, Lord, that if You, by power of Holy Spirit, has challenged any person here about something that is in their life right now that they need to deal with, that they'll be willing to do that. I pray, Lord, that You'll allow us to submit more fully to You as a result of what You teach us in Your word. I pray, Lord, that for many of us, today will be a new beginning. Will you allow us to focus on you? Will you continue to challenge us even as we have this closing song, Lord, by power of Holy Spirit? Will you just challenge us? And Lord, for those who need to declare something that they've done, those who need to confess, will you allow them to come forward for prayer at the end of the service, Lord? Will you allow them to be bold enough? And Lord, for each of us, I pray we'll grow in faith and knowledge of you. I pray that we will have the delight of knowing that you do always provide for us. Each and every one of us, Lord, whether we have wealth or whether we have little, and that our faith and dependence will be fully upon you. Use each of us, Lord, for your glory and purposes, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.